Episode 2, Three Wise Guys, by Scott Allen Evans and Jeffrey Couchman. Based on the short stories Dancing Dan's Christmas and The Three Wise Guys by Damon Runyon. Welcome to Hear Play Audio Theatre. My name is Simon Jones. It was certainly a good thing that Dancing Dan decided to try on the Dutchman's Santa Claus suit when he did. Otherwise, who knows what Heini Schmitz might have done when he walked into Good Time Charlie's speakeasy. Well, actually, we know exactly what he would have done, and it would not have been pretty at all. The Santa suit continues to bring good luck. For the three guys who are desperate to get out of town but don't have a car to take them, have wrangled a deal to get one from Merton, a butler for Mrs. Albright of the Great Neck Albrights, who is in desperate need of a Santa to appear at her fancy holiday party. Will Santa and his two elves be able to hold up their end of the bargain and bring Christmas cheer to the wayward boys, and indeed, to one and all? Three Wise Guys, Episode 2.
The Albright Mansion is one of the more impressive homes to be found in Great Neck, Long Island, a land of many impressive homes. It is said to have 27 rooms and sits on 160 acres of what might be called prime real estate. Its tree-lined driveway is a full half a mile long and is currently clogged with many arriving limos. Laden with bags and stacks of almost-wrapped gifts, Merton, closely followed by the three guys, rushes into the back of the house where they all make their way straight to a most luxurious den. Mrs. Albright's Christmas party is in full swing.
This way, quickly, quickly!
Say, Merton, that sounds a lot like Kip Knutson.
Indeed, yes, that is Mr. Knutson and his trio. They are entertaining during the cocktail hour.
You hear that, Blondie? Kip Knutson!
I hear some shindig.
Gentlemen, please! There are still presents to wrap. We need Santa on the job. We are far behind schedule.
Merton, there you are.
Good evening, madam. I trust the party is going well?
No, Merton, I can't say that it is. Where have you been?
Well, you see, madam...
The boys from the Whitley School arrived half an hour ago, and they are in the library, and they are restless and waiting for Santa. I do not like restless boys in my library.
Nor do I, madam.
Did I not make it clear that you were to take care of this simple task?
No, I mean, that is, yes, of course. And, here he is. Santa, you see?
I am not blind, Merton.
And he is, you see, madam, he is a very special Santa.
Is he now?
Yes, this special Santa is unique.
Unique? How so?
Well,
yes?
Oh, dear.
You see, Mrs. Albright, is it a pleasure to make your acquaintance? I am, by all accounts, if I say so myself, one of the topmost Santa Clauses in the trade. And I must commend you on your butler here, a very resourceful fellow.
Really?
Now, I do not know how Merton does this, but he hears that the hostess who hires me for her ritzy party in Manhattan, and who shall remain nameless, falls ill and has to cancel a blowout at the last minute.
He must have heard it through the Buttle Network.
Certainly, he hears it through the Buttle Network. And with prompt action, he is in the nick of time.
Or, let us say, the Saint Nick of Time.
To snatch me up and close the deal.
You left the house, Merton, and went all the way into the city?
How he makes it there and back so quick is a miracle.
It was the least I could do. We had to have a Santa.
I see. And who are these two?
These are Santa's helpers.
His helpers?
His renowned elves. I know how important these unfortunate boys are to you, and I wanted to be sure Santa has all the assistance he needs.
So where are their costumes?
Their costumes?
Yes, their elves' costumes.
Stolen.
Stolen?
It is a sad fact that not everyone at this time of year has the proper Christmas spirit.
If we catch up with the perpetrators, we will help them understand the true meaning of the season.
Mrs. Albright, I am told by one and all that I cannot consider myself a true Santa Claus until I appear at your Christmas party. It is known far and wide as the party of the year, and this year more than ever, because you are helping so many unfortunate boys. It is my belief that a party such as yours is a shining light of hope for youngsters who, through no fault of their own, fall in with bad company and do things they now regret. My two associates are familiar with many such boys at many different reform schools. They do not need costumes to show these boys how to stay on the right side of the law.
Quite true. They are elves in a broader sense.
I see. They are metaphoric elves.
Hmm.
That's it? Why, Mrs. Albright, you take the words right out of my mouth. That's what they are. These metaphoric elves are sure to put a Christmas smile on the faces of these young boys.
Perhaps you can find them hats of some kind.
No doubt, madam.
Hats are always welcome. And if there is time later, Mrs. Albright, it will be my esteemed pleasure to invite you to take a small spin around the dance floor. You should know, I am the only dancing Santa on the Eastern Seaboard.
A dancing Santa?
At your service.
I do like a foxtrot.
This is my favorite.
We shall see. Merton, the band from the Half Moon Club is setting up in the ballroom, and there is some question as to the lighting. Look into it.
Certainly, madam.
The Moonbeam girls can change on the second floor of the West Wing, see they use only the back stairs, and let them know they must be quick. They perform just before dinner. Check to be certain the champagne has arrived, and oh, yes! Cook cannot locate the Louisiana crayfish that were sent up for the special hors d'oeuvres for Mrs. Wilberforce. Find them, now.
I will attend to it all, madam, just as soon as I introduce Santa to the boys. Everything will run smoothly, I assure you.
It had better, Merton, or I'm afraid this will be the last party you ever preside over.
Yes, madam.
The Moonbeams? They're here? I have to go find Muriel.
Let us finish our job here so we can get the car we are promised, and then get to PA. That is where we want to be.
Excellent advice. You heard, Mrs. Albright. I am hanging on by the thinnest of threads.
Well, all right. I will find Muriel later. I do not want to see anyone lose their job in these times.
Thank you. Now, quickly, let us finish up with these gifts.
Give me that one.
No, let me wrap the baseball glove.
So, Merton, can't your brother put in a good word for you here?
Sadly, no. Shortly after my arrival on these shores, my dear brother had a heart attack and died.
That's tough.
Yes, it's been quite an adjustment. I inherited his position, and I fear I'm not living up to Mrs. Albright's high standards, nor do my brother's. But then my spirit is not in the butlerhood.
What about your surefire system? With that working for you, you do not need this butling.
The system requires full-time attention at the track, and more capital than I have at the moment. I must say, Blondie, you are a splendid gift wrapper.
I learn as a young G that a doll always appreciates a nicely wrapped present.
Excellent. You stay here and finish the last gifts. Bring them in as soon as you are done. Santa, you and your elf, come with me.
We are coming.
You got it all?
I got it.
Blondie, you will find us with the boys in the library. The end of the corridor on the left. You two, follow me!
Listen to this. Ho, ho, ho! Ho, 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 ho! Which do you like?
They will both frighten the children.
Blondie gets to work on the final gifts. He is not only splendid, he's fast. Suddenly, a door flies open, and who should duck into the room but none other than Miss Muriel O'Neill. She closes the door swiftly behind her and listens for footsteps outside. Clearly, she's trying to evade someone. When it seems that the coast is clear, she turns and is surprised to discover that she is not alone.
Blondie Swanson!
Hello, Muriel. I hear you and the Moonbeams are dancing this evening. I am sorry I will not be around to see the show.
What is going on? Why are you both here?
Both.
Muriel.
Heine.
I thought I see you. Blondie Swanson?
Hello, Heine. Enjoying the party?
What are you doing here? You tell me you are going to an old doll's home.
Well, Mrs. Albright is an old doll. Gotta go.
I'm surprised to see you again so soon, Heine.
You should have told me you were performing here tonight. I could have given you a lift from the club.
What a nice thought. Do you know these people?
I hope you are not running away from me just now.
Oh, no, Heine. I see Blondie Swanson coming here, so I step in to say hello. But please, excuse me now, I must go change.
You have time.
Well, the show is supposed to start soon, and I should make sure the rest of the girls are...
It is Christmas Eve, Muriel.
Yes, it is. December 24th.
This is not my favorite time of year.
I am sorry to hear that.
You are always a sympathetic soul. And you know, Muriel, I have been very blue as of late.
Well, a new year is just around the corner.
Yeah, my wife is in Miami spending my money, her alimony, on trinkets such as diamond bracelets and fur coats. Though why anyone needs a fur coat in Miami, I do not understand.
Oh, Heine, I did not know you were divorced.
Oh, we will be.
Still, you have your children.
No, my children are with her in the Florida sunshine. And then they hate me anyway. My family is of little comfort all around. My own sister. Do you know Miss Gerda Schmitz Shapiro?
I have not had the pleasure.
It is just as well. Gerda, my own sister, puts the heat on me to find out who is it that borrows merchandise from her husband's jewelry store.
Yes, you said this afternoon.
And now my sister makes me come up with a $10,000 reward out of my own pocket and no questions asked. Me? I got plenty of questions. So you see how it is, Muriel. I am a man alone on Christmas Eve.
Well, I'm sure this party will cheer you up.
I think it will take more than a party. Besides, I'm not here for the festivities. I figure to take my mind off my troubles, not to mention this sucker's day they call Christmas, I will personally make the delivery for this Albright dame.
Work is a good way to take your mind off things. I'm working here myself, and I should really be...
And now I find you here. And it is like it was meant to be. Like a sign, you know? A gift. And certainly the brightest spot on a day that is a loss in anybody's books. Muriel, it is a rule of my life that I am always nice to anyone who is nice to me.
Yes. I hear it is a very healthy thing to be nice to you, Heine.
I know you are a doll with ambitions. I can help you. I'm happy to talk with you about it one night over a bottle and a bird.
You are always a gentleman with me, Heine. From the very first day I started the Half Moon Club. When I meet you, I think there is a most distinguished older gentleman. In many ways, you make me think of my father. You have much in common with my old dad.
You know I still have not found Dancing Dan yet.
No.
No.
It is my guess he is spending a quiet Christmas Eve with old friends.
He should be here with you, Muriel. This is no way to treat a beautiful doll such as you. Personally, I always treat a doll with respect.
Merton, I need to speak with... Oh, who are you?
Muriel O'Neill.
Aren't you one of the dancing girls?
Yes, I am the lead.
Then I suggest you go lead. The show will begin soon.
Yes, ma'am.
And who might you be?
I am delivering the special shipment that was ordered for the evening.
The Louisiana crayfish?
No, this delivery is of the liquid variety.
Oh, the champagne. Very good. Judge Thrasher tells me that his connection deals only in the highest quality.
Our champagne is served in the courts of Europe. It satisfies kings.
Yes, well, tonight we just have to satisfy a few senators and a lame duck governor. Tell your boss that I will thank him in a concrete way through Judge Thrasher. I will see that you are taken care of as well. I must say, I like your manner. Your boss is lucky to have you.
Thanks. I'll be sure to tell him.
Oh!
Merton, I have been looking for you.
And I for you, madam. I have checked on the delivery of tonight's beverage, and I am pleased to announce that it has arrived and has been put on ice.
Yes, yes, yes. I know all about the champagne. Is everything else...
Under control, madam. The boys have opened their gifts and are ready to be presented to the guests.
I see boys in the hall carrying on like a Wild West show I once took in at Madison Square Garden.
An unfortunate occurrence. They should have been kept in the library, Merton. You see... These are youngsters from a school for juveniles in trouble. This is what you might call a pet project of mine, helping the delinquent youth of the city avoid a life of crime.
This is a most noble enterprise. A life of crime is not what it used to be.
Yes, these are dangerous times indeed. Now I must get back to my guests. Thank you for your service. Before you leave, you're welcome to enjoy a bite of supper in the kitchen. Merton, show him the way. And then bring on our Santa Claus and all the boys.
I hope Mr. Albright knows how to treat a lady like that.
There is only a former Mr. Albright.
He croaks?
He is alive and as well as can be expected. Madam and Mr. Albright went their separate ways about a year ago.
A long time to be alone.
Mrs. Albright keeps a very active social calendar. This way to the kitchen. Come along.
Okay, Dutchman, he is gone.
Do you think Heine follows us here? Is he on to Dancing Dan?
No, I think maybe he follows Miss Muriel O'Neill.
Dancing Dan does not need to know this.
We have to get him out of here, and fast.
Yes, but I never see a guy who takes to the Santa business like Dancing Dan. Those boys love him.
Those are not boys, those are little monsters. I tell you, Dutchman, there was one time when I almost pick up a pair of Mrs. Albright's candlesticks and bop a couple of them boys on the beezer. It is a good thing you discover the eggnog.
Even the boys who say they do not like eggnog? Like this eggnog.
I will grab Dancing Dan as soon as he has finished showing off the boys to the guests, and I will tell him about Heine.
Good. I will find Merton, and...
What are you doing in here?
I am glad you come in.
You are not the elves I thought you were.
Your place is out there with the boys, those barbarians.
What do you mean? Aren't they with Santa Dan and the guests?
No, they are not. They are chasing each other with bows and arrows. They are shooting off cap pistols. They are playing baseball in the solarium. The solarium! And if I didn't know better, I would say some of them are drunk.
Boys will be boys.
And Santa Claus is no help. Do you know what Santa is doing? He is dancing with the guests. Dancing with the guests!
This is not good.
What's to be done? What's to be done? Mrs. Albright will be furious.
The thing is, Martin, we have a small problem.
The problem is out there, wreaking havoc as we speak.
The real problem, Martin, is that what with one thing and another, a man named Heini Schmitz is after Dancing Dan.
Heini Schmitz, whoever he may be.
Heini Schmitz is a very influential citizen of Harlem with large interests in beer and other goods.
He will just as soon blow your brains out as look at you.
In fact, I hear sooner.
Nevertheless, he is of no concern to me at the moment.
Heini Schmitz is at this party. If it comes to his attention that Santa Claus is Dancing Dan, this will be a problem for one and all.
You make a sound point.
If we blow, the party goes on without any unpleasant interruptions. So we need that car, now.
The car is yours, just as soon as you bring these hooligans under control. Quid pro quo.
Does this mean you will not Welsh on your end?
I am from England, sir, not from Wales.
Okay, you got it. Consider those boys taken care of. Stick here, Dutchman, and get that car.
Everything's going to be okay, Merton.
No, I'm not cut out for this life of service. I lived a very different life in Great Britain.
Was that where you come up with your surefire system for the ponies?
Back home, I lived entirely off my winnings.
So what happens?
It seemed my earnings cut into the take of Skelly O'Brien. No doubt you've heard of Mr. O'Brien, Skelly the Skull.
I get the picture. The old country was not so healthy for you.
And all I want in my new country is enough money to get out of this livery. I hear there's an excellent track in Yonkers.
You ever hear of Hialeah?
Hiya what?
That's the name of the track, Hialeah, in Florida. That's where I'm headed.
Are you, really?
Yes, down south. Palm trees, oranges, and plenty of action.
Oh, sounds heavenly.
That's what it is. Heaven, but with better odds. I tell you what, Merton, I'll bet you could use someone who knows the ropes. And I sure could use a new partner. What do you say we team up?
Well, that is a most surprising proposition, Mr.
Just call me Dutchman.
Mr. Dutchman.
Okay.
To partner with a man of your obvious experience could be advantageous. Most advantageous. But I'm afraid I haven't the means for such a journey. I understand it costs many thousands of dollars.
Who gave you that guff? We can get going with the grand.
A grand?
1,000 bills.
Bills?
Clams.
Clams?
Dollars!
Ah! Why, I have nearly that much already. What with my brother's legacy and the bonus Mrs. Albright has promised me tonight, I should be well over the top.
Then we're all set. I am working on an angle myself. And if all goes well in PA later, by this time tomorrow, I will have more than my share, too.
Wonderful.
You said it.
Oh, but wait. I still have to earn that bonus. Oh, my. The boys. Come. We have work to do.
I'm with you, Merton. We will settle those boys and then get that car.
Hey, why aren't you guys... Where'd they go?
Dan?
Well, hello there.
Naughty and nice.
I'm so glad you're safe. But what's with the Santa getup? What are you doing here?
Having a swell time.
Do you know that Heini Schmitz is at the party?
Sure, I hope he enjoys himself. Heini Schmitz does not worry me.
He worries me plenty.
Forget him.
I can't forget him. Heini came around today.
When is this?
This afternoon, back at the club, looking for you.
Oh.
He scares me. It's all got me thinking again. We can't go on like this. We've got to get out of this town.
Oh, we got plenty of time.
Dan, we don't. Besides, I can't keep high-kicking forever. I want more than this. And what about our dancing school?
I'll tell you what. After the new year, we'll talk about it.
No, we've talked enough. You remember my girlfriend Kiki in Frisco?
Sure. Grows up in my old neighborhood, you tell me.
She wrote me. She's found a beautiful space that would be perfect for the school, and she wants us to come out and join her. I'd like more than anything to go out there with you, Dan. But if I have to, I'll go alone.
Well, let us not be hasty.
It's now or never. Kiki says the space won't stay open for long. This is our chance. I just feel it. And with everything that's happening, if we don't go now, I feel we might not get a second chance.
But what about Gammer O'Neill, You always say you cannot leave her.
I would never leave her. Gamma will come with us.
Come with us? Do you think she can make such a trip? Oh, she's so old. This could be her very last Christmas.
I know that.
She's probably hanging a Christmas stocking at this very moment.
Dear Santa, I have been particularly good this year.
Dan, I don't want to talk about Gamma right now.
Does she write her letter again?
And you always bring me such nice things.
Of course she did. She writes him every year.
The darning egg you bring me last year was certainly useful. And the fell's nap, the soap the year before was nice, too.
I never see anyone who loves Christmas so much.
Listen to me.
She is the sweetest thing.
Dan.
Still, I always hope that maybe once, just once, dear Santa, you could come through for me and fill my stocking with beautiful gifts. Something really sparkly. What do you say?
You were telling me just the other night how you wish you can give Gamma O'Neil one real big Christmas before the old doll puts the checks back in the rack.
I did buy Gamma a few extra gifts this year. Only I can't afford much.
Why no, sweetheart. You always do right by her.
I'm counting on you, Santa. Could you come through? I still believe in you, honey. Yours in hope, Gamma O'Neil.
She means the world to me, Dan.
To both of us. And we will stay right here for her.
Here you are. I am sorry to break in on your little teeter-teet, but we need to leave right now. Heini Schmidt is at the party.
I know. I see him cooling his heels in the front hall.
Goodbye, Muriel.
But I am not leaving. This is a swell party. I am not afraid of Heini.
Hello, Dancing Dan.
Oh, hello, Heini.
Now say hello to this.
Ooh, that's a nice gun. What brings you here?
I see Santa Claus dancing with some very large doll. And I say to myself, there is only one guy with fancy footwork like this.
Yeah, for such a hefty doll, that Wilberforce dame has a lot of rhythm.
Let us take a walk, Dancing Dan.
Ooh. Santa, there you are. My guests are asking for you. What are you two doing back here?
We got a car! Oh, hello, Heini.
Heini? Who's Heini?
Mrs. Albright, have you not met Mr. Heini Schmitz?
You're Heini Schmitz?
I am.
This is indeed a great pleasure. I have heard so much about you from my dear friend, Judge Thrasher.
The pleasure is mine.
You're too kind.
I have a small task to complete, but perhaps when I return, we can continue our conversation.
I admire your dedication to business. It does surprise me, however, that you make your own deliveries. I was led to believe that you have something of an empire.
Why, this is the very word I use when talking about Heini Schmitz. He builds himself an empire from the island of Manhattan to the borough of Brooklyn and even all the way to New Jersey.
And let us not forget the Bronx and Staten Island.
Oh, we must never forget the Bronx and Staten Island. As far as the eye can see, you will see the enterprises of this man.
A most industrious citizen.
Heini, you have, what, 400 guys working for you?
500. Ooh. Let's go, Dancing Dan.
500 employees? That is impressive, Mr. Schmitz. I know what it takes to manage a business of that size.
Exactly. Attention to detail. This is Heini Schmitz. Mrs. Albright, for a customer as respected as yourself, he will even personally deliver beer.
Champagne.
And champagne to your doorstep. All this he learns from the time he is, well, the age of one of those young boys out there.
Yes, one of those boys could have been Heini Schmitz many years ago.
A boy alone in the world, trying to make good.
Pulling himself up by his bootstraps.
Climbing the ladder of success.
Step by step on the shoulders of other men. And now he sits on top of the world, looking out over his empire. All yeah. Hail Heini, huh?
I am sure these accolades are well deserved, Mr. Schmitz.
Call me Heini.
And please, call me Bitsy.
Thank you, Bitsy.
When I came in, I could see that you were in conference with Dancing Dan, is it?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I understand that for reasons best known to yourself, Heini, you may need to eliminate Dancing Dan and perhaps his friends. This is entirely your affair, and I won't interfere.
You are a most understanding woman, Bitsy.
Oh, no!
Oh, and there's that nice gun again.
All I ask is that you not get blood on my Farragon Saruk carpet.
It is a beautiful carpet.
It is, isn't it? Persian.
You have nothing to worry about, Bitsy. Dancing Dan and I will be leaving. You, Get moving.
There is, however, another possibility.
Well, let us hear this other possibility, Heine.
If you would rather not spend a tiresome evening dealing with the police and feeling all of that, you know, warmth.
Huh?
Heat?
Yes, heat, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Can't be that heat.
You might prefer instead to come back into the party with me. There are quite a few important and highly influential guests I would like you to meet. Do you know Senator Pry?
Only what I read in the papers.
Don't believe everything you read. He could be most helpful to a man in your position, most helpful. I also want you to come back to the party, Dancing Dan. You see, Heine, this is an important night for me. I am building a new wing at the Whitley School for Wayward Boys, and Judy Wilberforce is on the verge of writing a substantial check. And I owe this to you, Dancing Dan. Judy tells me that dancing with you is more intoxicating than champagne. Though your champagne is very good, Heine.
As I promised, Bitsy.
This is indeed a high-class party, Mrs. Albright. I enjoy myself every minute. But the sad time has come when I and my friends must leave. The boys have their gifts from Santa, and all is well, hmm?
Yes, the children are once more settled in the library, madam.
As a father of eight, I know wherefore I speak, and I can tell you that Merton knows his business when it comes to boys that will be boys. He sees how much the youngsters enjoy their eggnog, and he brings them all back for more of that good Christmas cheer.
Yes, Merton, I must say, you have done your job well this evening. You will find a healthy bonus in your Christmas stocking.
Thank you, madam. You are most generous.
Muriel, if I'm not mistaken, it is almost time for the moonbeams to perform.
We're on in five.
Then may I suggest, Mrs. Albright, that the girls can handle it from here. On with the show.
Yes, it must start on time. Please, go get ready.
Merry Christmas to all. Bye, Dan.
Would you, at least for me, Dancing Dan, give Mrs. Wilberforce one last spin around the floor?
Forget Mrs. Wilberforce. Here's a check for your new wing.
My goodness! Heine! So generous!
Well, it is Christmas, ain't it?
Yes, but this is quite unexpected, though very welcome, to be sure. You must join the party now. I simply won't take no for an answer.
I'd be happy to, Bitsy.
Well, isn't that nice? Everything is settled, and we can be on our way.
We do need to get going.
No, you don't. You are not going anywhere. You and me still have business to discuss. And if Mrs. Albright wants you to dance, you will dance. You hear me?
I hear you.
Thank you, Heine. But first things first, let me introduce you around.
Do not move a foot from this spot until I say so, or you and your two pals here will be sorry. Very sorry.
Tell me, Heine, have you any political aspirations? We happen to be looking for someone to run for governor.
Is that so?
Oh, yes. Go on in and we'll talk. I need a brief word with the butler.
Sure.
Merton, get rid of him.
Very good, madam.
The way I see it, if we drive as fast as Merton, we'll hit PA in 2 hours.
By my watch, an hour and 50.
Merton, you going to be all right?
You have a clear night for traveling.
Yeah, Merton, the Santa suit is all yours. Save it for next Christmas, hmm?
Oh, thank you. But who knows what next year will bring?
New friends and sunnier climes.
Indeed.
Wait. What about the car?
Mr. Dutchman has the keys.
See ya, Merton. Stop packing.
Remember, I still have one quick errand to run back in Manhattan. It will not take long. I will be in and out.
What errand could possibly be so important?
I just have to deliver a small package to an old doll.
Ha ha. Get moving.
Cheerio!
Merton bids a fond farewell to his newfound friends, and soon our guys are piling into a sleek black Studebaker, courtesy of the former Mr. Albright, and head out for PA at last.
End of episode 2. You've been listening to Three Wise Guys by Scott Allen Evans and Jeffrey Couchman, presented by Hearplay Audio Theater. Hearplay offers its work free of charge, but if you can make a donation of any amount, we'd be most grateful. All proceeds go to pay our talented company of artists for their time and artistry. To learn more about our work and to join us with a contribution, please visit our website, www.hearplayaudiotheatre.com. Three Wise Guys cast includes Nora Chester, Joel De La Fuente, Jeffrey C. Hawkins, Carl Kensler, Jack Koenig, Victoria Mack, Ron McClary, John Plumpus, Jasmine Rush, and Dana Smith-Kroll. Stephen French is our narrator. The original music is by Joseph Trapanese. Produced, engineered, and sound design by Daryl Bornstein. It was produced and directed by Scott Allen Evans. Thank you for listening and your support. I'm Simon Jones.